Welcome to the Love Positivism podcast. I'm Shireen Oberg, and I'm a yoga teacher and author devoted to the path of healing and heart-based living. And I want to help you to step into what you truly are and to your highest potential. On this podcast, I share with you tools and insights to help you move ever forward on your spiritual and healing path. With guests from all over the world, from different wisdom traditions, I wish to create a web of loving energy that permeates the whole world to create more love and peace. You can connect with me on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube for more guidance and love. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm really excited to talk to Hannah Wallace today again. Welcome to the podcast, Hannah.
Welcome. I'm like so happy to be here. Like, yeah, it feels like so nice and in alignment that we're having a conversation again. And yeah, it feels exciting. And I feel like since we last talked, like, yeah, it just feels quite magical, doesn't it?
Yeah. And so many things emerged from our last talk on your podcast. So we were definitely wanting to build on that. And maybe for the people who haven't listened to that episode, you can introduce yourself and then we'll take it from there.
Oh, super. Thank you, Shireen. So I'm a podcaster like Shireen with a lovely podcast called Finding Grace. And I'm a writer and like Shireen also mystic priestess. And I'm somebody that has lived with a condition that has provided me with challenges in my life, but rather than letting those challenges define me, I found a way to work with them, found a way to align myself through spiritual practice, through devotion, and also through, I think there's been a real learning process for me of surrender, of having to sometimes understand the links between Western and alternative stuff and having to really navigate those pathways in ways that actually serve me rather than resisting. And that's been so kind of holy in a way for me because it's allowed me to draw on the strength of what I know through my spiritual practice and through my spirituality, but also helped me to heal on a deeper level. So yeah, that's who I am in a nutshell. And yeah, it feels really great to be in a place now where I'm able to share my wisdom and perspectives and be able to help people with that and to help people, I think, feel less alone, because I think so many of us live with different things and we're all navigating things in a different way. And I think sometimes we just want that reassurance that it's not about being perfect. It's about being perfectly imperfect and finding the beauty and divinity in that as well.
Yeah, that's so beautiful and so true. And just this morning, I had another conversation and we spoke about how these experiences really initiate us and help us to tap into the mysteries somehow, mm-hmm. because it feels like that's how many of us start and we have different challenges and it kind of pushes us to work deeper and we start remembering why we're here and we don't fall into like this illusion of like we're just here and now and that's it. So we kind of have those challenges and maybe they come in also in cycles, because everything in nature, everything in the universe goes in cycles. So it's really important to harness the power of the lessons that we get and we always speak about the goddess, the descent, like that story.
Absolutely. And the initiation of the descent is, in my opinion, where we learn the most. And sometimes some of us we descend deep, dark, hard, and fast. And that can be obviously with its own challenges. But sometimes it's because when we've had to go through that, it's because then when we're walking through the underworld and we're walking through that place, it enables us in my opinion, to see things from a totally different perspective. Like you say about initiation, like when things first started going very wrong for me, I was a teenager. I was like 17. It was like a shock to my system. I mean, luckily for me, since I was a child, I've always had that connection to spirituality, to the mystery. So thankfully, it was like, okay, you're really going to have to start to learn to apply these things that you've been learning and reading about. And I am so grateful for that, because back then it was seen as like very weird and very different. And I'm so glad that I stayed on my path. And even though at times it did feel lonely, I actually was so grateful that I had that energy behind me supporting me. And it felt like I never had to define myself by what I was going through, because I always defined myself really by my spiritual path. That's how I saw myself. And I think actually that's what really was able to elevate me. But gosh, it was dark. And I remember thinking, sometimes you talk about the descent, I remember thinking like, you know, this is heavy. No one else around me is experiencing this. But I look back now and I am grateful, because I realize the things that I've learned, I never would have those perspectives where I'm at now, and actually be able to really say to people, you're not alone.
Yeah, that's really powerful. Thank you for sharing that. And also, like, it's so true what you say with, so there's a difference between a collective descent, where there's a group of people having the same experience at the same time, and then you can relate and there's like this forum for it.
Yeah.
Then to go through something where you feel alone, you're not really, but you feel that in your circle and community, you're the only one. And it also helps us to, in a humble way, understand that unless we didn't have that experience, we couldn't even imagine, you know, some things are unimaginable. We can feel into what someone else is going through, and especially if you are empathic and you have like clear sensing and you go into it. And that's what many people can do also in coaching and healing, and that can be really rough. But at the same time, the it's like the different seasons of emotions, they can come in different combinations, and your particular like portal or initiation is so unique for you.
Yeah.
It's coming in with so many like lineages of like your body, your soul, it's like merging in here. So I think that that's what I've learned actually is definitely to have that humbleness to, even if you empathize and sympathize and all of that, you cannot fully see the world from someone else's eyes, although we are never separated. So whatever other people are experiencing is part of our experience, but it's really... And that's part of the descent story of many of the goddesses, right? They go down alone. That's the point.
Yeah, it's true. And also it is humbling, because I think in a way, and I feel like we get humbled along the way. You talk about seasons and times. I remember thinking, you know, as I moved through that journey initially, that you kind of don't think that it's going to be cyclic. You kind of, you know, you're not quite there yet. You don't really understand this idea that you're going to experience things again in different ways, in different facets as we move through that spiral. And I think it is humbling, because what we are forever remembered is that we are not bigger than that, and it is not bigger than us. And I think it's like that, having that space of humility and surrender to remember that, you know, like you say, that we're part of something, but we're not all of something. And it's just... it connects us to ourselves on a deeper level, and it just brings us back to our heart and remember that, you know, we must be in that constant practice and devotion to stay connected to ourselves and to others. And I think that's what I learned along the way, that through that humility, that actually that, you know, we think we've got it all sorted out, right? We think we've done the work, or we've done the healing path, or we've tried this thing. And actually we get met by another, what we, you know, however you want to call it, barrier. Let's just say it's that. But it's also because there's another facet for us to learn. And I think when I accepted this ever-evolving process and becoming okay with it, becoming okay with those seasons, becoming okay with the seasons of death in our lives, becoming okay with the rebirth, becoming okay with the stillness, becoming okay with the highs, I think it's liberating, because we start to learn to be okay with that. I mean, last year, as you know, I shared with you, I broke my leg, and it sent my whole system. I went from being in summer here in the UK in August, and I felt in the midst of summer, you know, I felt that energy, and it was like overnight I descended, Shireen, like I descended into the, it felt like autumn, boom, came overnight. And it was almost like the goddess, God, like whatever source, whatever it was, I felt this like deep, mighty rumble of like surrender. And it wasn't a case of like, hold on a bit, have resistance. It was a total surrender. And despite in my life, you know, having many experiences of surrender, I have never surrendered like I did. And it was such a, it was dark, but it was also because I think, you know, luckily when you've been there and bought the t-shirt a few times, as I'm sure you have, that there was a beauty in that, because I was able to be like, do you know what? I'm okay with this. It wasn't in the plan, and this is really shocking, but I'm going to trust. And it felt like liberating in order to do that. And in a way, it was almost like the healing began within that descent. The healing began. And it was very interesting for me as I moved in back into our spring in 2023, because it felt like I'd been in this deep, dark, long winter. And it was, yeah, it was a real emergence. And this year has felt like a real emergence for me. And I, you know, I'm grateful for that. And again, it was what you said about the humility. I felt that humility, you know, spirit met me with humility to give me time to totally rest. It was like during that time, I almost like spoke to my nervous system and was like, what do you need? I'm here. Like, I'm not going to fight this. I'm not going to try and force anything. I'm going to welcome what healing comes, but I'm not going to do my usual process, Serene. When something goes wrong, I like jump in the, you know, the alternative manual, and I am literally like, you know, what can I do? Like in every possible way. Now, where, you know, obviously we can draw upon good things, but I knew that obsessive pattern was something I needed to kind of break free from, that I didn't always need to try and fix myself. I needed to learn to be. And, you know, That's taken me a long time to get there. But yeah, that was a descent. And when you just said that about descent, I had that image in my head. Yeah, I remember that descent feeling, because that was me last year.
It's, yeah, that's incredible. There's so many points that you brought up that are so important. And also, like, if you stop like constantly trying to fix,
yeah,
then you surrender, then you are in devotion, because then you feel like you can accept and receive, yeah, like this divine support. And if we can't trust in that, then that's when we become like very, and I totally relate to that, and can like have so many examples of that. And I think that it's so beautiful that you, I'm going to say also that from that time that you're speaking about, I think on a collective level, because I've met many other women who are doing the same work, there was a descent at that time last year. Something happened, a lot of collective things. And as I said, like even at that point in October, I think I stopped recording. I was like going also into a descent. And then within, so maybe it was like a, for you, like a pre fall equinox thing. And
yeah.
then doesn't it feel like in the spring equinox, I mean, that's so symbolic, right? That's
it was
like what it's all about.
So Shireen, I knew, it's so weird you say this, because obviously, you know, I joke that last year in the first half of the year, kind of emotionally, I felt very fragile. And then in the second half of the year, I actually broke physically. And, you know, I knew it was obviously, it was around the end of August. So I knew the portal for autumn equinox was opening. And I knew during that autumn equinox, I said to my friend, next year in spring equinox, I will fully release this experience. But I knew that during that time that there was something very important for me to do. It was almost like, I look back now, it was almost like there was something deep in inside of me that break was it. I look back now, it felt so symbolic, because it was, you know, it also made me surrender in a way that, whereas I already had a few physical limitations, it actually really physically limited me in a way that I hadn't experienced before. And so the way I had to surrender to the people around me helping me was actually like a lot. And I actually didn't leave my house for 6 weeks. I left my house more when the world was in lockdown, when we were going through COVID. But that was part of my surrender experience, that I didn't want to even put that pressure on myself. And I am lucky I have an outside space. And so I just surrendered and I allowed myself to receive. And it felt on a really weird and deeper level, as I've now emerged into this year, it felt like there was some sort of deeper feminine initiation, a softening, that for so many years there'd been this hardness of me always having to be on it, trying, like, even when I've been in, you know, in experiencing all these amazing things, I was always on it. Like, what can I do next? What can I do to help myself? What can I do better? And it was almost like it drew a line and it gave me that space, like what you said, that pre-equinox, you know, it gave me that space just to pause and be like, okay, like, you know, I really was like, you know, goddess, what do I need to know right now? And I'm willing to listen here and I'm willing to soften. And I feel like, because I took those, you know, lessons and that experience in a way that it was that surrender, I really have, in a strange way, felt the benefits of that, you know, later this year, where I think there's been this softening, there has been this less of a need to chase. And to be honest, I didn't even know until I was in that place that I was even doing it, because, you know, from the outside world, I was quite a regulated person because I'd done quite a lot of work. But I guess deep down, I knew I was always like on the case to chase things, to do things. And I think there was always this deeper message. And, you know, we all understand this with the feminine and the masculine, of it's that constant doing, where I think from our childhoods, we're like, what can we do to fix up? How can we achieve? And I think as women, one of the deep things I started to realize during that time, that many of us who especially are in our like later 30s and 40s, we're children of the 90s, which was a very much a time of like, we're working on the male kind of 24-hour cycle. And, you know, nobody was talking to us that, you know what, women, you're different. You know what, young girls, you're different. You work on a cyclic level and you don't need to base your life just on achievement. You don't need to be like men. And that's okay. If you want to chase that, do that. And I think that the really great thing is now these conversations are helping people to actually realize we can choose differently. And it doesn't mean you're not achieving if you're choosing a softer, more feminine way, and you're really embodying that, because it's so healing for our wombs, for our hearts, and for the mother lineage that so many of us were down our lineages. Our mothers have had to fight, and our mothers' mothers and their mothers' mothers have had to fight and push you know, in many different ways that, you know, we will never have to experience. But I think that there's a real reclaiming of the feminine that's arising and starting. And I'm sure you will understand that, because I know we're in a kind of similar bracket. And yeah, and I think it almost took me to last year to realize that what I was really shedding here was this kind of this shell that we put on us to be like, we can, you know, we're basing our lives on achievements, and it's great to do things, it's great to achieve things, it's great to, you know, do well. But it's also great to know yourself on a deeper level and to understand your own rhythm, your own cycle, and your own, and learn to trust your body. And I think everyone, you know, male and female, we all have different ways, rhythms, our body temples all different, but no one ever tells us from a young age, the most important thing you can do is learn to understand your pace and your rhythm, and also recognize that you're cyclic, you're seasonal. I mean, that's liberating, isn't it?
Yeah, that's so many important points that you bring up, and how, yeah, we definitely didn't grow up with these type of conversations and images and understandings. I mean, we, maybe if we had super conscious parents and like they were into what we're into today, but it's really something that is coming up now and is more acceptable. And so there is a quickening, like there's something happening very fast right now. And even though if we go out in society, things seem the same, but it's not, because there's so many people who are changing their consciousness and awareness, mm-hmm. and things will change more and more. And then there's always going to be, like, shifts are, will take time, but it's a different view now. There's so many differences. And at the same time, there is always this counterforce that is holding that evolution back somehow, or trying still, but it's not going to work. And I love also that you brought up your 6 weeks of being inside, because that's around 40 days. And that's like the Venus retrograde is 40 days, you know, the 40 days are so sacred. And I think that that whole cycle, we're coming up to the Venus retrograde as well, that is a great lesson where we are asked to go into that inner mm-hmm. space. Because if we're constantly trying to do and achieve and fix, and even if it's about ourselves, as long as we have attachments to our physical body, to our physical life, we are still not in. And that happens like regularly. You constantly fall into that trap. Yeah. I don't know if some people will achieve, of course, like full, like becoming an observer, but it's always in this dream of life. It's like, as soon as we wake up in the morning, we get attached to our physical body and this reality and this dream. And then we forget about everything else. And then during the night, we completely disattach. We're not, and especially when we're not dreaming, we're completely disattached from a human experience. We don't have anything. It's blank. We're like in oneness. So it's so important to be conscious, but it's so hard to like deprogram the mind. It's really, and maybe that ties into what I was going to ask you, because I feel like, and I think you have the same like interest and thought about this, that visiting like sacred sites, I mean, we have always a place close by that we maybe can like come back to ourselves, like being in nature, in the forest. But one thing that has been like a grounding or like a remembering thing is to visit these different ancient sacred sites. It's like portals that help you to like somehow, and you can tap into them on like a meditation level, and it can be on earth or somewhere else, but it's like something like remembering and recalibrating. And I was gonna ask you, where, like, has there been places which you have visited that has been like very potent for you in your initiatory path to like coming back to yourself?
Oh my goodness, over the years, absolutely. Obviously, in the UK, you know, we're fortunate. I actually only live 2 hours from Glastonbury, for instance, and close to Cornwall, close to Totnes. So definitely there have been places, but also across the world. I always knew I needed to go to India. And for me, that was a really, it was like I needed to put my feet on that land. I needed to be in that space, to breathe the air and be in that space. And then there have been other places that I've gone to I didn't even know that I needed to go to. For instance, I went to Israel multiple times, and it wasn't like I chose to go there. It was because of the person I was with, his family were there. So it was like, it wasn't like, oh, I want to go to Israel. I'd never, if I'm honest, thought I want to go to Israel. I'd never been on my kind of, you know, list of destinations. But when I got there and I started going around this country, I knew I needed to visit this place. And I knew as I moved around the country and I went multiple times, I knew that that was an important journey for me to take and to connect with on a deeper level. So I think what's interesting is sometimes there are places we go to that we've like when I went to India, I need to go there. And other places we don't even know, you know, like I feel a weird spiritual connection to Paris. I felt in Florence that I'd walked the streets in other lifetimes. And then when I went to Cuba, I was like, why do I feel like I know this place? And I think the biggest thing that I've learned is as much as we can go straight to the sites and straight to the temples and to the churches and to the places, I've started to also learn over the years is that it's also in the place itself, taking in the atmosphere, sitting in certain places, even just going for dinner somewhere that can evoke a memory or a feeling. And I think I've learned to find the practice and the spiritual practice in that as well. And that has been really potent as well, because it kind of like draws out the devotion as this idea that it is like constantly weaving within us, you know, within the mundane as within the great. And I think that's been really potent as well for me. But yeah, I mean, it fascinates me how that we can go to some places and be like, oh, that was a great place to go, like definitely go there. And then other places, it's like our soul knows, right? And we can't describe it, but we know it. And I think for me, that has been something that as soon as I land somewhere or I get somewhere and I'm like, yeah, this is somewhere I know I need to be, I allow myself to immerse myself in that. And yeah, that's been like, I'm really lucky that I've been to Egypt multiple times and had some very esoteric experiences there. And, you know, it kind of blows my mind that I had these deep experiences that I went because my mum and I, quite frankly, wanted to go on holiday, not because like either of us were like, oh, you know, let's go on a pilgrimage. But it was almost like I was guided there. And because I just continue my daily practice as part of my life, that it just dropped in. And that for me is magical as well, because it just means you're in that place of receptivity and receiving. And I think, you know, for anybody listening, the art of learning to go somewhere without the expectation of what you're going to get or when you're going somewhere, just continue your devotion to show up and trust that you could go to the temple and you could also go to the street cafe and you could receive the download sat drinking the cup of coffee, not even just at the temple. And I think having that openness and devotional practice in that way is how I've really found a magic in kind of the practice of life.
That's so beautiful, and how amazing the different trips that you made and how they have like different flavors, they have different energetics. And I really agree with you that sometimes we go to places which we don't really, like, maybe we don't have any expectations, or like it's spontaneous, or like it's for some reason we ended up there, and then it's like you can find the mythology of the place.
Oh,
like
my
I've I realized I went to like certain places which had like goddess energy, and I didn't realize it when I went. And then there was like this ancient tradition there, or but I really learned how to tune in also. Like when I made my traveling more intentional and like tuning in, you know, when a place is calling. And
yes.
For some reason I have been, I mean, we're not far away from UK in Sweden, but it's also like we have so many places in Europe that has this ancient rich history. But for some reason I do feel connected to certain places in the UK, and there's something like really, it can be heart opening, it can be also initiate, like it can be sometimes rough because something opens up. That's, yeah, last time I felt that. And and my years in Ireland, that was also like extremely initiatory. So there's something about the islands. And then maybe if you would come here, you would sense something else opening up, because like you're not like rooted here. At the same time, you're maybe getting something from the nature and connecting with like the spirits of here. You know, we all have different spirits as well. You know, we have different plants, and some plants are the same, but that's also connected to the different nature spirits. So it's so magical to be able to do that. And also to, like you said, really make it a priority to also find that power spot for yourself where you live, or close to where you live, because it can be just something that you feel that you tap into, like finding that little sacred space that brings you back to remembrance. And then when you are in that devotional, intentional place, then anything that's going on, or any initiation that's going on that is tough, then you just get that support. Instead of trying to fix, you just enter that space, and then something will happen. As long as you have an intention, something will happen.
I agree. And I think as well, it's our receptivity, isn't it? It's our ability to allow and receive, which it's very interesting, because most of us are always trying to, without realizing it, in order for most of us to feel safe, we try and control, even when we are on the spiritual path, because it's so deeply woven into our programming. And I think deconstructing that has been such a, I don't know about you, but such a process and practice for me, because it sneaks up on you in so many different ways that we don't even notice it. But it's so empowering when we realize that. I like to ask myself, where did this actually come from? Is this mine, or is this from someone else, or is this from society? And I think there's such a wisdom in asking ourselves those questions and being like, why am I holding on to this so much? Or why do I need to control this narrative? What would it be like to just loosen the grip a little bit? And believe me, we all know it can be so hard sometimes when we especially when we're fixed on this idea of what we want from something or someone, or you know, and it's human, it's part of the human experience for us to be, you know, tapped into a certain thing we may want or a desire. But it's that constant, I like to think of it, that constant cosmic dance, isn't it, between tapping in and, okay, this is what I would like, and then releasing that. And oh my goodness, I mean, anybody listening, I'm sure you're all having that dance with the universe where you're like, come on, why isn't it happening, or why doesn't it show up? And I always bring myself back to a place, and I'm like, okay, what do I need to do? And it's always that deep thing of trust, isn't it? And be like, how, you know, what would it be like if I could just trust? What would it be like if I trusted that I'm always going to be looked after and supported, even if it's not how I expected? but I always am. And I've tried, not always been wholly successful. I tried to live by that, but I think it can be, you know, it definitely comes with its challenges. And I certainly have been met with those on many times, but it's good in theory to have the intention in your mind, right?
Definitely. And I think that just coming back, it's like you can't always have an empty mind. But when you come back to your meditation or you take a walk and become aware, then that is like a cosmic dance between the active and passive and receptive. And like it's just giving yourself like the patience and the self-love that you are still, like, as long as you're trying, you're still doing something, right? So it doesn't have to be perfect, because we're also part of this human nature. So yeah, I think that's so beautiful. And I would love for you to, you have my oracle card deck.
I do. I have the amazing deck, and also let's show the lovely box. I love the box.
So excited for you to have it. And I would like, I mean, I usually draw cards on the show now, and I just felt it so great if you would draw one for us and everyone who's listening. So
I think I'll draw us two, you know, I'm feeling called to find out. Maybe one for me and you.
Yeah.
And which is very interesting what we've just been talking about. And one for oh wow. So firstly, so this is for me and Shireen, and it's so interesting what we've been talking about, that kind of cosmic dance and coming back to ourselves. It says, I have a healthy and stable foundation in my life. And I think that's so important. I think because we have spent so much time in our lives, and you know, I'm sure there have been periods where you feel very up there and not embodied and in our bodies. I think the biggest thing that I've really learned over the years is grounding and creating strong foundations is the literal key to success. And I feel like that's just mirroring back what we've been talking about here, that, you know, devotion is in practice and just create and gosh, like, you know, for anyone listening, like, the biggest favor you would do yourself is create strong foundations, because then on those foundations, it doesn't matter what comes up, what comes down, you know, what goes around, what spirals, there will always be something to fall on. And that's strong foundations. And I would say to anybody who is beginning their spiritual path or on the path, go back and check in with your foundations, because that will serve you along the way in the tower moments, in the death moments, as well as the moments that are amazing as well.
That's amazing reading, and like so appropriate for everything. Like you said, it's the root chakra card. So it's really
the root chakra.
Yeah, coming down and into the body and being like present. So
yeah, and wait till you hear what I've collectively pulled. This is going to blow your mind on sacred spaces. And I am like, wow, we've got the Glastonbury card, and we've got I deserve to receive and give love. And firstly, the fact that Shireen and I have been talking about, she asked me, are there any spaces you go to? But I think the deeper message here is that we've been talking about receptivity, right? We've been talking about coming back to your heart, listening to your own rhythm, and our willingness to receive. Like, you know, for every woman listening here, have a look at the way you receive, because we have so many layers around us that blocks us off from receiving, because we've been so patriarchally programmed never to receive unconditionally, or to limit how we're going to receive, or what we've got to do in order to receive. And realizing that we do deserve to be these open vessels to receive and to give love, and that it's safe for us to do that. Because I think for so many of us, from childhood experiences, from then as we move into our teenage years, and then from various love, we get kind of bashed, to say the least, and bruised. And it comes back to this space of asking yourself, you know, often it's so much easier for us to give, right? but not to receive. And I love that in a way on this call, you're allowing yourself to receive in a way by getting me to pull the cards, because you normally do that. And I think that's a really great example that Shireen has been like, I would like you to pull my deck, and I'm going to receive that as well. And, you know, maybe if you're listening to this, go away and ask yourself how you can receive on a deeper level. Ask yourself what your relationship with receiving is, because, you know, like those strong foundations, I think it comes up to how we learn to receive means how we not only just learn to receive, you know, quote unquote, the physical, but it's how we learn to receive spirit. When, you know, we don't realize when we're cutting ourselves off from receiving, it's not just on the physical, it's on so many different levels. And, you know, I think that I would like to kind of, I don't know if you'd agree with me here, that often our nervous systems aren't even programmed to receive. It doesn't feel safe. So I've had this kind of thing going on for a couple of years where I ask myself, how does this feel in my body and nervous system, and check in with my heart and ask myself how I'm receiving. And you look at my experience last year of when I broke my leg, I had no choice but to receive help. I had to receive in a way that I didn't even know would be kind of stripped back in a way that, you know, it was really extreme initially. And I remember when I was going through that, I remember thinking the real practice is going to be when this gets better. How am I going to carry this through and continue this practice when I'm back in the control seat, when I can do more for myself? How am I going to learn to receive then? So that has been the practice that I kind of intentionally took through to 2023, because it's always, we can always, when we're forced, as we know, when we get sick or when something happens or when we have a breakup, it's actually, we really learn how to apply the lessons to something when we move out of the space of what's happening to us and kind of back into the happy space.
Yeah, so true and so beautiful, everything that you shared. And yeah, I can just agree with everything. And just it's really interesting that you say that the nervous system is not wired, because it can become like an inner stress because we're in that state. That means that we need more yin, the yin energy and rest and coming. That's when the divine feminine, like, we can learn so much from her archetype. So I think that's so beautiful. And I would love for you to finally just share how people can find you, because I think you have an amazing podcast and doing beautiful work. So yeah, just share that as well.
Well, people can find me at on all major podcast platforms, and it's called Finding Grace with Hannah Wallace. And Shireen has been on me twice, and I hope eventually in the future, I'm sure more projects of hers, we will come on and share more. And I have my website, which is www.hannah-wallace.com, and you can find I've got regular blog posts with like about 500 words, just every bi-weekly, a little bit of wisdom dropped. And, like, you know, if people want to contact me for readings and other experiences, they can contact me via there as well. And actually, Shireen, this weekend, what I can share, I was doing, because I use the tarot as my main kind of base, and then I use oracle messages placed around the tarot, and like I explained to you, placing them on by tarot cards to get that to mirror. And I used your cards this weekend just gone, and it was really, really cool to be able to give those extra messages and the depth to the tarot and to kind of blend the two together. So yeah,
that's amazing. Thank you so much. That's just, I really hope that the cards help everyone who's using them, and especially for healing, which is like my main focus. So I'm really proud that you are also using it, and thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom. You're like, you have so much incredible, I mean, just ancient wisdom in you. So thank you so much for channeling that for us as well. And I'm sure that we will, yeah, have another conversation soon again. So thank you so much for everything.
My pleasure.
Thank you.